the heater too loud?
No.
Does it sound better if I turn it off?
Much quieter with it off, but it's not horrible with it on. With it on.
You'll hear.
I don't want you freezing.
I'll be fine, but now you'll hear Ninja sleeping.
That's kind of a pleasant sound.
It is a pleasant sound, isn't it?
Yeah. So, welcome to week 760 of the Crankcast.
Then you're not sure?
Yes. Yes, it's 760. Holy moly. In 17 episodes, we're going to have to do our special God episode.
God episode?
Well, it'll be 777.
Oh.
Anyway, tough room.
No, you don't get to say that. Your jokes have to make sense first.
It does make sense. 777? You know. Anyway, so what's new?
Nothing really.
Have they lifted the stay-at-home in Illinois yet?
Oh, no. No. They say we probably won't hit peak until middle of May.
Right on.
Yeah. They're not going to do that here. It's only the ass-kissing states that are going to do that.
Yeah, Ohio is supposed to begin a gradual reopening starting tomorrow, I think. Or after tomorrow. But when I say gradual, I mean like what they're going to open up first is non-elective or non-emergency stuff for hospitals and stuff like that. They're not expecting like sports things and stuff like that for months.
Yeah, sports won't happen this year.
That's probably bumming a lot of people out.
Yeah, it is. It's bumming out a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, can't have concerts and stuff either, like music things and plays and whatever. I mean, and of course, all those venues are getting hit financially because they can't be open.
Yep.
And from what I've read, a lot of churches are really hurting because they can't be open. So they can't collect donations in church.
I don't feel so bad about that.
Well, I mean, it affects the people it affects, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the ones that are hurting are doing the smart thing as opposed to staying open like, you know, a lot of them are.
No offense to people. I'm not religious at all. In fact, I would say that I'm anti, and it really, it does not bother me at all. But, I know that it is important to some people, but, that reminds me, I was thinking about this in the shower for some reason.
Going to church?
No, but I was thinking about how the only like famous outspoken atheists are all smug assholes.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And specifically, like, you're probably thinking of like Dawkins, whatnot.
Not. I'm thinking about him. I'm thinking about Ricky Gervais. Oh, I'm thinking about Bill Maher. I'm thinking about Seth. Who's the guy that does the Family Guy?
Green. No, McFarlane.
McFarlane, he's a smug asshole. Penn Jillette isn't. I wouldn't say he's a smug asshole, but he's definitely obnoxious about it.
I don't know about the smug part, but he's an asshole. I mean, it's safe to call him an asshole.
I mean, he's yeah. So it's weird. I mean,
he's made a career out of being an asshole, sort of, right?
It's. I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd call him an asshole. He probably is, but. He's not smug, though, like McFarlane and Maher, because those guys are dicks.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. There's a way to have a belief system and not be a dick about it.
Or an anti-belief system, I guess, as it were.
It's still a belief system. That's what they believe.
I know. It's a... Yeah. I think... Well, I mean, you're talking about the people who are outspoken about something, right? I mean,
yeah, true. I mean, it kind of goes with the territory, right?
It seems to me in my observations that most people who are super outspoken about something are pretty like, I don't know if you'd call them assholes, but they're so into it that they come off as assholes.
Yeah.
Because that's all they care about, right? Like, or not all they care about, but I mean, they care about that to an extent that you don't, that it comes off as assholish. It's like super fanatic anything, I guess, really. Because, I'm thinking back to other experiences where people were just totally into something that I wasn't, and I'm like, and then they get mad, kind of mad that you're not. Like,
Well, yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you bring that up. Yeah, fanaticism in any kind of form is like that, right? I mean, I'm guilty of it.
sure.
I try to be way conscious of it now. And in fact, I'll needle people about stuff, but I don't mean it anymore. Like, if somebody has like an opinion on music, I'll give them a joke about it. But really, I mean, I had a boss in Memphis when I lived there. His name was Wally Rose, and he really kind of put it in perspective for me, because he's like 10 years older than me, and he was just like the most laid back dude. He's like, "Fuck, man, you like what you like, and why are you worried about what people think about you?" And I make fun of people, but I totally believe that now.
Well, it's sort of a live and let live kind of thing, right? I mean,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
I think for a lot of people, if they're telling you about something, they're really excited and you're not really evincing much interest, it's kind of challenging maybe their worth.
I've seen that. I mean, Jim Terry's been like that with me about movies and stuff. He doesn't get that I don't care about what he considers classic cinema.
Yeah.
And it drives him insane. Also, he's the one that gets offended if you watch Mystery Science Theater. He thinks it's somehow impure that you're making fun of movies.
Huh. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's I've looked down on people in the past for listening to like super stupid music.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
You know.
It's a sign of immaturity, because we all have done it, but usually when we're younger. It's fun to make fun of people like that, but as long as they know that I'm making fun, that it's not really, I don't mean it. I don't think I'm better than anybody. In fact, it's the opposite. That's my problem, is that I think I'm terrible and everybody's better than me.
You are terrible, Mike.
Yeah, well, I think people are better. I think you're better than me.
It's the terrible Mike. That's my new children's book.
Terrible March. Yesterday was pretty terrible.
What happened?
I mean, I couldn't, I don't, I haven't felt like drawing. Everything I write, I draw, I'm like, ugh. I've been drawing every day and I'm not getting better. I know it's all because of being cooped up. And I was like, well, I'll practice. And everything I try to play, I can't play. And
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that I'm learning. Like, I'm trying to learn new songs and stuff, and then I'm mad that I can't play it.
Probably also doesn't help that when you're serenading Ninja, he can't really give you any constructive criticism
Yeah,
or
I
feedback
knew
from
that
that.
was going to bite me. I told Julie not to post that, and she did anyway, because I post pictures of her.
Was it a good
And
song?
I wasn't serenading him.
Okay.
I wasn't even, I was playing scales. And Julie saw that Ninja was looking at me, so she took a picture of it.
Well, it was a cute picture.
Was a cute picture. I agree with that, but it looks like I'm singing a song to my dog.
I used to chase dogs around while playing the Jaws theme on acoustic. Just the opening bit, you know. But anyway, sorry. Yeah, it's long-term stress takes a toll. I'm not saying anything new here, or like if this isn't like revelatory or anything. It's pretty common knowledge. Like when you're under stress for a long amount of time, it becomes cumulative, and it I mean it affects your motivation, it affects your something. I mean it can affect your cognitive abilities pretty easy after a while. So it's no surprise that you're struggling a little bit, because
Yesterday was just especially hard, that's all. I was getting just no patience for it. Plus, you know, the dogs, they love having us here, but also they're dogs, so they don't understand that this, they think that this is normal now, and so they've become accustomed to it. And if you fucking change at all, like if you leave the room, they become unmanageable assholes. And Ninja has just, he's like, you will carry me around or I will make your life miserable.
Dogs, dogs do have that weird reset button. Like you leave a room and come back in. It's like he's...
Well, Mo is terrible now. Mo is a broken animal. I am at my wit's end with him. The only saving grace with Mo is that you can put him in a room and he just sits there.
Yeah.
But he, like, if you take him out, he won't sit still. And then he gets stressed out that he can't see or find anything. So he's panting and wheezing. And you're just like, just chill out, sit on my lap. And he won't do it. And I'm like, all right, I got to put you in the bathroom so that you'll just calm down and go to sleep.
Have you tried one of those, what do they call them?
The thunder shirts?
Yeah, like the huggy vestings. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Because he gets really hot.
Oh, well, yeah. No. I wonder if his sniffer still works.
Barely.
Like, I mean, you know, I know his hearing and his sight have gone, but, like, I wonder if he can still smell
things. No, I've tested. He can smell it if it's right in front of him, but he can't sniff things out.
Huh. Yeah, that'd be rough, man. It's like that guy in the Metallica video.
Well, Julie's never liked Mo anyway, but every night she's like, go to the light, Mo. Oh. Yeah, I'm like, that is the worst, that's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, but I was laughing uncomfortably. I mean, I can understand the frustration, especially for something probably that you're super uninvested in.
Well, the irony is that we got him for her, but she just doesn't like him.
Right. Well,
all right, it's life.
Yeah, well, was I watching the other day where they said, like, death is part of life. It's the end of it or whatever. You know, like the last part of it, rather.
How is you?
Okay, I watched all three seasons of The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh yeah, what did you think?
Because I finished Bunheads, and so I decided to watch that. It's good. I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. It was
out of all of those kind of all of those people's shows, it has the most reason for it to be the way it is, like stylistically, right? Like the dialogue and stuff, because it feels like it's kind of riffing on an old like 50s, well, 60s.
Well, I didn't realize. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was period, but I didn't. For some reason, I was thinking it was in the 60s, but it actually starts in 58.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, definitely she talks fast because she's supposed to, like, you know, I mean, she's supposed to be a stand-up comedian with that heavy, like,
well, everybody talks fast. That's the style of those producers.
This isn't quite as wacky. I mean, it's still a mix of like fantasy, quirky world, sort of grounded in a historical place, like 50s New York.
Yeah.
But I gotta call it a fantasy because I can't believe some of this shit actually went on, like, you know, was a real thing. And it, you know, it's got its signature stuff, a lot of characters and a lot of different plots going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, quirky personalities, like this one of the characters, her manager, like, winds up getting, because she does something during the course of the show, and somebody hires like a couple of bone breaking thug kind of people to come get her. But, and so they kidnap her and she winds up making friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so it's like, and you actually wind up liking those characters cause they come back again later.
Mm-hmm.
And, even though they're, you know, I mean, they make jokes about like
killing people.
Yeah. Well, like she's like, oh, you're killing me. And they're like, someday, stuff like that. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's definitely the Paladino's
Yeah.
touch, you know, in it. It's,
But it feels the most normal in this show to me, just because it feels like it's trying to emulate that old style.
that snappy patter
Yeah,
from old
from
movies and stuff.
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas in like a Gilmore Girls, it's like, what the fuck is happening?
That's yeah, Gilmore Girls is a little more like they're trying to cram as much stuff in there, like into the time slot as possible.
Yeah.
At times. I mean, it wasn't always like that. I mean, overall Gilmore Girls was perfectly satisfactory to me. But
Yeah.
yeah, at times it felt like it was just like, holy shit, how much shit we're gonna shove in 45 minutes. And you know, Bunheads was a little calmer than that, but
It is a little calmer, you're right.
it's still like wackier than your average show.
Yeah.
And yeah, after actually, I think when I talked to you, I was like halfway through it or something, or like a third of the way through it. So actually, after finishing it, and I read up a little bit on it. It was the first half of the season. There was like a long break between the first half and the second half. I can't remember. I guess there was something going on at the time. And then ABC Family, which really it probably should have been an ABC show instead of ABC Family. But ABC Family canceled it because of the ratings, even though it was getting great critical reviews at the time. And there were even like newspaper reviewers just telling them like, go ahead and renew it. Just do it. You know? Because at the time, you know, it was a well-regarded show. Compared to, you know, what else was on, because this was 2013, I guess. And really, honestly, in an ideal world, it would have got another season or two. I don't know how long. Like, I don't. I guess, you know, I guess it could have lasted 7 or 8 seasons, really, but I don't really think it needed to. But it should have got at least one or two more, just to finish some stuff out. Because especially, that's one of those things where I don't know. I guess they knew the end was coming. But the last episode didn't even feel like it was a season finale, much less a satisfying series finale. Like, it didn't feel like finale at all. It just felt like another episode. And they left it on a thing where, you know, one of the characters, I guess that's what made it a season finale, was one of the characters did a major thing and they just left you with it at the end of it. But,
I
yeah.
did a true thing.
Right. Well, you know, a major life-altering event or something. But yeah, watching Marvelous Miss Maisel almost makes me maybe want to go see stand up again sometime, but I'm still kind of phobic about it. Just because of that. I've explained this before, that time with Josh and Susan. And
No, I
I still have nightmares of being left alone in a club with just me and a stand up person. You know? I was like, that was freaky. I don't ever want to do that again.
You're freaky.
Pretty freaky. I could be super freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like it. Season 3 of Miss Maisel was slightly, it seemed like it was slightly different in tone. It was a little more grim.
Yep.
It was all about everything falling apart, which you would think that's what it was to begin with, because the whole thing starts off with her life falling apart. But that really hits home in Season 3, where like everybody's lives are just getting screwed up. Relationships are falling apart, you know, employment situations, things like that. And that one left on a real, that last episode was a real downer too. So I don't know, are they doing a season four? Has that been renewed?
I do not know, but I would guess.
That's the yeah, 'cause I mean that just aired in 2019, December 2019. And that's the problem with Amazon shows. Like, I don't mind short seasons of stuff, because this was like, first season was 8, second season was like 10, I think, and then third season was 8 again. Or 10, I can't remember. But, you know, I don't mind short seasons of stuff, especially when they're like an hour long, like a solid hour long, not like 45 minutes with commercials hour. Because I feel like that's enough, you know, for a season. But at the same time, it's also like, man, you gotta wait a whole other year for another 8 episodes. By the time, you know, this thing comes around again, am I gonna forget about it? I don't know. But that's just the way it is, you know, I guess. But I can always go back and rewatch stuff. So yeah, though. Anyway, enjoyed it. I recommend it to people to watch.
recommended. I watched Blood Quantum last night. Speaking of fucking downers.
I don't even know what Blood Quantum is.
Blood Quantum is a zombie movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a brand new zombie movie from Canada.
Oh, okay.
The twist is indigenous people are immune to the zombie.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, it's still a fucking bummer. It feels like they managed to compress all of the downerness of like 10 years of The Walking Dead into one movie.
Oh.
So,
well, actually, that would make The Walking Dead better.
Because it's not drawn out as long.
Yeah.
I went in thinking, oh, this is a fucking great-ass concept. It is a downer. It's a good movie. Also, the name is fucking stupid.
Blood Quantum.
Yeah, I don't understand what that means or what it has to do with the movie.
Apparently it's a... Oh, it's a... Well, Blood Quantum laws are... Let's see. What's it say here? It's a... Trying to find the short thing. Basically, it's a person's blood quantum is defined as a fraction of their ancestors out of their total ancestors. So it's how much of a certain race you are.
Oh,
they were called
perfect sense then. I take it completely back. It means it is exactly what it should mean, and I am a fool and a charlatan. Never let it be said that I don't admit it.
Yeah, they were also called the Indian blood laws. They were laws in the United States and the former 13 colonies that define Native American identity by percentages of ancestry.
Well, then I am a fool and a charlatan. Don't ever listen to Mike Norton.
Well, it's just because you don't know a phrase, and why would you really, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't explain it in the movie.
Oh, I guess I figure maybe everybody's is.
But that's totally what the movie's about. And it's rough stuff.
Is that on Amazon, I guess?
It's on Shudder.
Shudder.
It's a Shudder original. Which means Shudder just bought it from somebody else. Yeah. It's just like Sci-Fi Channel originals. Sci-Fi didn't make those movies.
Right. And they, and once upon a time, a Sci-Fi Channel original bought movie could actually be pretty damn good, as evidenced by like Cube and stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't. That was a Canadian movie too, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they
Canadians can make some good horror movies.
Canadians make good movies in general.
They I still remember, and they've come out with some like pretty, I don't know, innovative, but that's not the right word I'm looking for. Unique, I guess.
Yeah.
Like Pontypool was that was a good take on a horror like virus zombie movie kind of.
I think a lot of these other countries, when they make movies, they're constricted by budgets and stuff, and so they are forced to be. It's kind of the way like English stuff is always more original than you think it's going to be a lot of the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I talked about that before. Yeah, I talked about it before. I watched foreign stuff. That's part of the reason I like watching foreign stuff because. Yeah. A lot of it, I can't tell if it's just a unique take on something or if it's just cultural difference.
It's a little bit of both. I think they're forced to be more creative because they don't have a lot of the budgets that we just squander away because we're afraid to do anything original. I think that, change of culture. I don't think a lot of people even realize themselves that a lot of the reason why people love a lot of these British TV shows is because they just like to hear the people talk different.
Oh, sure.
You know, because it's like there's only so many police procedurals from England that you can watch before you realize this is just Law and Order, you know?
I guess so. I don't watch a lot of those there. The ones I remember watching were the weird ones, like the Life on Mars and stuff, which was kind of like that. Or what was the other? Luther? Was that the one?
Luther, yeah.
Which, I guess, that's more of a drama than a procedural, I guess, but...
Yeah.
So maybe I don't actually watch procedurals too much. I know for one thing though, definitely. I guess this is just because they've got a more limited pool than the U.S. Maybe, pool of actors to choose from. But once you've been watching British TV for a while, you just start recognizing people all over the place
Yeah.
from other stuff.
It's a fact there's only five actors in England.
At any given time, they rotate them in and out. Yeah.
And a lot of the actors you see are the same act, like different actors playing a new actor. So, like, if you see David Tennant, that's actually Christopher Eccleston.
Playing David Tennant.
Yeah, David Tennant doesn't exist.
So what you're saying is that all the actors in England are actually Doctor Who and they regenerate.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
I mean, it's the reason why Gary Oldman is famous for looking like all these different people in his movies. See, they're all morphers.
Wait, is Gary Oldman English?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was
Yes.
American.
Oh, yes.
I thought he was American.
That's because he's so good.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, Gary Oldman's been in a shit ton of stuff. My God.
I used to make the joke that Gary Oldman doesn't need prosthetics anymore. He just, because you can never tell it's him sometimes. You can never tell it's him sometimes. That makes fucking a lot of sense. Like,
Well, and also he's become one of those actors like Nick Cage and Christopher Walken and stuff, where like every new movie he's in, he's always kind of just playing himself, I guess, or something. Because
No, I don't think he plays himself at all. I don't think he's ever played anything close to himself
well,
in a
a
movie.
lot of his characters seem to share the same characteristics, you know? They're it's generally like a weird kooky role or something, or something slightly off, menacing. And he's good at it, so that works. But Sorry, I was wrapping something up, so my attention was divided there for a minute. I had to upload files.
Upload
Yes.
files.
Stop all the uploading.
Stop all this file uploading. Oh no, Julie's coming down here.
Oh dear. Hi, Julie.
Oh no. Don't talk. Here comes Julie. Julie's here. Don't talk. It's Julie. Don't listen to her laugh.
Who are you talking to?
It's me.
Oh, hello.
How's it going?
You're on the Crankcast.
Yeah, you're being recorded, by the way. Mike didn't tell you that.
Sorry.
I never tell anybody.
Well, I'll leave again.
What do you want?
I was just coming to see how the day went.
All right. They didn't say anything. Now he's going to be upset when you leave. You're going to have to take it.
Hit the reset button.
What you get. Bye.
Bye, Frank.
Bye. Take care. I also started watching another Amazon original thing. Now, Amazon originals mostly are Amazon originals, right? They fund them.
Yeah, those are mostly things made for Amazon.
Okay. This one's the Tales from the Loop.
Yeah, I've seen commercials for it. I didn't haven't watched it though. It seems like a Twilight Zone kind of thing.
It's more. That seemed like what they were trying to push it as, but it doesn't seem very Twilight Zone-ish to me. It seems more like, do you remember the TV show Eureka?
So it's all tied together?
Yeah, the whole show episodes are all tied together. They focus on different characters and different character stories, but they're all in this town.
The image of the robot in the woods is just fucking awesome to me, but I still haven't watched it for some reason.
Yeah, this reminds me of a sort of the grim and gritty version of Eureka, where Eureka was all like bright and happy and wonderful,
Yeah.
even when bad things were happening. Like,
Man, I miss Eureka. That was such a good show.
that was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah.
That was another one of those ones that suffered from, like, they would take long breaks. I don't know what was going on with the show, but it seemed like there were long breaks in between seasons, and then sometimes there were like short seasons, even though that wasn't like a short season show. But yeah, Tales from the Loop, I don't know how I want to say this, because I don't want to say it's a bad show, and it's not. It's got some really great ideas. Like, things that kind of make you think about it after you're done watching them. But it's kind of, takes itself so seriously, it's almost boring?
Mm.
Kind of. It's a real slow burn. Like...
Slow burn!
Yeah. It is good how, like I said, it focuses on different characters every episode, but you see a lot of recurring characters, and there's crossover between them. Mm-hmm. Because they all live in this town, and they interact with each other and stuff. And there are some like really cool ideas. There's something that happens early on, like the second episode, I guess, maybe, that you keep seeing it get further played out in the further episodes, but like just sort of as background,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I thought that was neat. And part of it has to do with that robot walking in the woods.
Robot!
And, I thought that was really neat. But it's just, I don't know if it's just my mood right now that I'm watching it that kind of, like I said, it just kind of hits me as being, like, almost too slow. I don't really mind slow stuff, but this was almost too slow. Hmm. But I still recommend watching it because, like, your mileage is going to vary, and it's got some really solid ideas, and it's really well made.
Some people think that you're too slow.
I am too slow. I take it easy. I'm like such a slow ride. And yeah, then I got some stuff queued up that I'm going to watch because, you know, you watched it. Things that you recommended last week. Oh, I did watch that one thing you talked about. What was it? The one in a hospital with the sea monsters.
Oh, yeah. Soft Matter.
Soft Matter, yeah.
Wasn't that cool?
That was weird. Was it Australian? No, it wasn't Australian.
No, it's American.
This seemed like it could have been an Aussie movie, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's very Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
It's Peter Jackson and Boots Riley. You haven't seen... sorry to bother you, but it has that flavor too.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit of who's the other guy? Michelle Gondry with all the like dream sequence-y kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they would throw in weird like music segments and stuff like were sort of disorienting. When I was talking to you about it, I said it was absurd, and I wasn't saying that like in a like terrible way. I mean, literally, it's an absurd movie. It's just strange. And very off-putting at parts. But surprisingly, I mean, not even for what it is. It was good. It was a good watch. Made more of a good watch when you consider that it's probably pretty damn low budget. Although the makeup on the monster person was pretty good. But it's probably... That's such a weird bar, because I would have said that was really good a long time ago, but like now you see cosplayers, and cosplayers go all out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're kind of raising the bar for low-budget makeup effects or whatever.
Yeah, but then you have the Polonia brothers, who it doesn't matter that you can buy shit off the rack that cosplayers can use that looks great. They still make the shittiest-looking crap.
They're the ones that put in those weird effects package stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like the 3D effects were, like, what was that one thing with the ape with a surfboard or something?
Oh, no, I don't think that was them. oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Or no, it was an ape with a mohawk or something.
Yeah, I forgot what that was.
I can't remember the movie.
The Day of the Animals or something like that, I think.
Yeah, because that's the one where you see the nuclear explosion out in the water.
Yeah, there's like an octopus out in the water.
Yeah.
It did explosion.
Now that's an example of what I can't call a good movie, but it was a very entertaining movie.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I love those.
It was just, what the hell was up with the ape with the mohawk?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what that was. This is exactly what happened, is that they got an effects package and it came with an ape with a mohawk and they didn't bother changing it.
Yeah. There you go, I guess. I'm trying to think of I guess I can go look at my queue, but there was some stuff I had grabbed to watch. My files are all messed up. I've got an instruction manual, video manual for a Roland JV-1080 sitting here for some reason.
Roland.
Sort of a synthesizer from back in the mid-90s, I guess.
Yesterday would have been my guitar setup class.
Oh, yeah. Your luthier thing?
Mm-hmm. Instead, I've been basically trying to do it all here by myself. The thing that I was trying to avoid by taking the class.
Was it you that recommended Shock 'Em Dead?
Shock 'Em Dead. Probably. What's that one?
I think you posted it a couple weeks ago.
Shock 'Em Dead. That's the heavy metal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. With Michelangelo Battio does all the close-up guitar work. The guy, remember he was famous for the four-neck guitar?
Right.
Yeah, his double-neck guitar makes a lot of appearances in that.
And when you say double-neck, you mean necks on either side, not on top of each other?
Right. Yes. Yes. He was the first one to do it like that. And then Steve Vai did it, and then...
Was it Steve Vai that did the jokey thing where he had like eight necks and like four arms coming out?
No.
Or was that in a comedy video?
I think that's a comedy video.
Because I remember something like that being on MTV.
So he... I don't remember when Rick Nielsen did it. But Rick Nielsen obviously did it as a joke.
He was the one that had the heart-shaped one, right?
No. Steve Vai had a heart-shaped one with three necks on it.
Oh, okay.
Michelangelo had the two that were facing completely different directions. And then Steve Vai did the heart one. And then Michelangelo did one that looked like a ninja star that had four. And Rick Nielsen, somewhere in there, had one that had like six or seven. And they were just like, it looked like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
And I've seen him play it in concert. Like, he'll play Surrender with it. And his whole gimmick is he'll play one part on one neck and the other part on the other neck. And I think the whole idea is that there's different pickup configurations for the different necks, because I can't see a reason why you would have that. It's really dumb. And in Rick Nielsen's case, it's obviously a gimmick, because that's all he does is gimmicks. You know, he's the gimmick guy. Remember?
He's like props.
He's a prop. He's the prop comic of guitarists.
Right. And like clothes and stuff too, I guess. But. That's all part of his shtick.
Yeah.
Oh, and I watched Aquanoids, too.
Sorry.
That was terrible.
You shouldn't have done that. That was awful.
That really was terrible.
Yeah. But I love watching those movies, too. When she just goes... When at the beginning of the movie goes, the Aquanoids are back, and I was like, what? This has happened before?
It's like we're watching the sequel to a 70s
movie. Yeah, I was like, is there a prequel to this that I don't know about? Like, this is insane.
I guess the prequel is probably just called Aquanoid. Why was she riding around all over the place on a scooter?
Like, that it was so fucking stupid.
And why were there long, prolonged shots of her riding around on a scooter?
Because they didn't have enough for feature length.
I guess that's it, yeah.
I mean, there's a scene in there where they're like, oh, there are people that have died and are missing, and they're putting up posters, and it's a very serious moment, but they take time out of their day warning people of the Aquanoids so that they could just diss on some bitch. They're just like, oh, you're a slut, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
And they're just laughing, and I was like, wait a minute, aren't there people dying right now?
I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was just I was coming off of watching the other movie, the Soft Matter, and then we had talked about Aquanoids, and you compared it
Soft Matter is clever, and Aquanoids is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think you compared it to Roller Gator.
Yes, it's very much like Roller Gator. Have you seen Roller Gator?
I have not.
Roller Gator is so bad it's hard to watch with riff tracks.
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah. Roller Gator is shot on video like Aquanoids. But the sound balance is so bad you can't hear anybody talking. And there's a constant background soundtrack of this acoustic guitar that never lowers in volume. So it sounds like someone's trying to make you go crazy.
It's a Joe Estevez movie, huh?
Yeah. I don't mind that. I've gotten used to old Joe.
So have you...
Joe always looks like he's just murdered somebody. Joe Estevez looks, in every movie, looks like you just caught him killing somebody.
So have you seen a movie called Baby Ghost?
I have not seen Baby Ghost yet.
Huh. Because that's also got Estevez and Conrad Brooks, and it's directed by the same guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And it's a Baby Ghost.
It's on my list. I think it might not be available on Prime anymore.
You can, like, rent it, but...
Yeah, I don't want to rent.
I don't think I'd spend the... No. Oh, and I still haven't watched Alita Vampire Mistress yet, but that's in my queue.
Oh, you are missing out.
I'll get there.
Yeah. Those are the batshit ones are the truly special.
It's special in this, in quotes, in this context. You know. Special. But, yeah, I gotta get to some other movies before I get to Alita. Like, Rodeo and Juliet.
Rodeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, I haven't seen that. I gotta...
you probably wouldn't like it. It's a romance movie. Like...
No, I'm not against those.
It's a country Christmas romance movie.
Mm. Yeah. I love your name.
It is a great name, Rodeo and Juliet. I don't know why. I got a soft spot for those movies. I really do, and I didn't realize it until like recently, well, in the past year or so. I should have realized it because I watched an awful lot of them, and I've seen a lot of low budget rom-commy type stuff. I have a much higher tolerance for those than I have for, like, low-budget horror movies now.
Hmm.
But they, I mean, they're still, like... I mean, there's a lot of terrible ones still, though. And I think I've said this before, too. I've watched an inordinate amount of, like, Mormon ones.
Why?
I don't know why the Mormons make so many romance movies.
Because they want you to get hitched.
I guess so, yeah. At least I guess it's Mormons. I think it's Mormons. I know I've seen a lot of, like, faith-based movies that I didn't know they were faith-based when I watched them. I just started watching them because I was like, oh, okay, here's another low-budget romantic movie. And then I get into them, and I'm like halfway through, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm starting to see signs that this might be trying to convert me.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's the gross part of, like, the assassin movie I watched.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is kind of gross. Because I'm watching it going, can you believe how outrageous this is? But I know that this is made for an audience that's going, oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah, there's like just... I mean, by and large, the ones I've seen, they're pretty straightforward movies, but you start getting this like uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
Once you get a certain way into them.
It is an uneasy feeling. That's a good way of putting it.
And then you start recognizing, after you've seen a few of them especially, you start recognizing like little cues and things. It's
peaceful, uneasy feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like menacing in the way that a horror movie's menacing or anything like that. But it's just like uncomfortable in a certain way.
Yes.
Kind of much like, I'm sure, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's, like, parallels for other things, but either way. And some of those actually haven't been too bad. Some of the ones I've watched, but there have definitely been some where I'm like, eh. When I get to the end of it, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. Because I've watched a few horror movies that were religious-based, too, where I didn't realize they were before I started watching them. And you get to the end, and it's like some sort of, you know, apocalypse where they take everybody up into heaven or something. Like,
really?
Or something weird. That's how it ends. Like,
what movie have you not, where that happened, where you did not realize what it was?
There was one I watched. I can't remember the name of it, though. Where, like, the whole thing was supposed to be, like, I thought it was just sort of an end-of-the-world horror movie. Because that's what
it was. It wasn't, like, Left Behind, was it?
No, no. But it was, like, what the heck happened? It was a small cast, and it was basically just dealing with, like, people having to keep themselves alive at the end of the world kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen other movies like this before. And,
I saw one last night.
Yeah. And it was basically like that, but then when you get to the end, there's a shot where the guy's walking down the street with, like, a baseball bat or something. And it pans mm-hmm. back, and, like, you just see all these fires and, like, demon things flying around in the sky and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there were other things that happened towards the end that made me realize that it was like, oh, this is some sort of faith-based movie. Like, as opposed to being just a horror movie.
Usually you can tell. I'm surprised.
I can twig to them about, you know, in the first third or halfway through at least. But, yeah, this one I didn't catch until the very end. I don't know. Maybe my faith dar was off.
Faith dar.
Yeah. That doesn't sound as good as Gator. I have a lot. While we've been talking, I've been scrolling through my Amazon playlist, my watch list. I have a way too large watch list. I need to trim this back. And in fact, I've been scrolling through and trying to take out stuff that I added so long ago that it's not even on Prime anymore.
Well, that happens a lot. So don't. It's not because you waited too long. I mean, they change up all the time.
Yeah, but I wish they would quit doing on Prime. Like, they're, because I watch a large volume of things on this while I'm working. So, yeah. When they do that thing where they take something off, say what?
I mean, who are you talking to?
Right, but I'm just, for anybody that doesn't realize, I see a lot of stuff, and some stuff I forget because it's not that memorable or something, but it's interesting enough that if I see it come up again, I'm like, oh, well, that looks interesting. Maybe I'll watch it. Now, a lot of times, you know, when you go to queue it up or look up in the further description of it, you'll see that you've seen it already from the progress bar. And but they do this thing where they'll take something off and put it back on again, or they'll put it back on from a different licensor or something like that, and it doesn't retain your watch history anymore. So I've caught myself, like, starting up movies and getting, like, 10, 15 minutes into it and realizing I'd seen it before. Even though it didn't tell me I'd seen it before. And that's sort of annoying. I wish I'd have it like more title-based as opposed to, I guess, licensor-based or something. Should I keep Hologram Man on here?
Hologram Man sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. Anything with that actor in it sucks.
That's been in my queue for a long time.
But he is in a lot of 90s.
Didn't that have Brian James in it?
Probably, but he's not a huge part of it.
Oh. I like watching Brian James.
Taking from us too soon.
Pardon?
He was taken from us too soon.
Oh, okay, yeah. I agree. Poor guy. So, enough about my watch list. What, how long have we been talking? Oh, okay, we're good.
My watch list has got a bunch of Christmas movies in it that I never got to, but I have to scroll past them all the time.
Yeah, I gotta rethink my Christmas movie watching next year. I got a little too involved with the Christmas romance movies.
Yeah, you think?
It left me feeling kind of cold and numb when I ran out of them.
It doesn't seem like you have.
A little bit depressed.
It doesn't feel like you have run out of them.
Well, more of them came along, but I'm saying at the time when I, you know, didn't have any more to watch, I suddenly felt like, you know, life was meaningless and I'm never going to amount to anything and nobody's ever going to love me. In a snowy cabin.
You just need to just get comfortable with that, I think.
Well, yeah, right. Acceptance is a big part. You know, you just gotta own it, I guess, is the common part. Yeah. You've gotta own it, because it's a game changer. Two phrases I'm really sick of hearing.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you hear that all the time?
It's just stuff I've been seeing pop up in news articles and people saying it. It's like the modern version of thinking outside the box. Like, yeah. You remember when that was a thing and everybody fucking said it?
Yeah. I think they still use it a lot.
They do, but now I think it's been superseded by game changer.
Game changer.
This is a real game changer.
Game changer.
Like, I mean, unless you're talking about something that physically takes your game out of the machine and puts another one in, don't use it. Don't use game changer.
It's the literal game changer from the Nintendo game changer.
Yeah, you know, if somebody really should have invented that, something that auto-loaded your cartridges for you. And then if it didn't work, it pulled it out and had a little blower to blow on it and then put it back in again.
Game blower.
It's the game blower.
This game already blows.
It comes with the power glove. The game blower.
So bad.
Don't say. So I got to, my mom asked me to come help give one of her dogs a bath. Because
help or just do it yourself?
Pretty much it's going to be me doing it, I guess.
I mean, she said just give my dog a bath. She didn't say help me get the dog a bath.
Well, she did say help, and I think she was trying to say, can you help, you know, by lifting the dog into the bathtub, because my mom can't pick her up.
Yeah.
And the dog's fairly old and isn't going to be able to get into the bathtub on its own.
No.
And it's too cold outside still to wash a dog. But this particular dog has a weird thing where when it needs a bath, well, first it does what a lot of dogs do, and it starts getting kind of oily on the coat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pay attention to that and you let it go a little while longer, she starts smelling like mothballs.
Ew.
Kind of a camphor smell.
Ew.
And it's really strange. I mean, it's not entirely unpleasant, I guess, if you don't mind mothballs.
Who enjoys mothballs?
Well, it's one of those things that's not repulsive, you know. Mm. It's not like smelling like, you know, I don't know, BO or something.
Oof.
I mean, I guess it is BO for that dog, but like that taco smelling BO or whatever, you know.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Why are we talking about this?
I'm trying to put in perspective the non-repulsiveness of the smell, but it's still an odd smell.
Let's just say you have.
All right. We've established this then. But yeah, so it's just weird. It's a weird thing because I've never had another dog smell like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I mean, she eats a lot of grass. I don't know why, but she eats a lot of grass.
My dog eats a lot of grass.
She got this thing where she goes out and kind of roots around like a pig.
Mm-hmm.
And actually kind of chews, digs into the dirt, and to get to the roots. I'm not sure, but
roots.
Yeah, very much. Root digger.
Root digger. That's my favorite East German metal band.
Oh, I was gonna say that's my favorite low budget wrestler.
Root digger.
Root digger.
Low budget wrestler. Isn't that all of them really, except for like maybe four?
I'm talking about like the backyard. Card table wrestlers.
Why don't they call backyard wrestling card table wrestling?
There's an awful lot of card tables involved in it. From what I've seen.
Card table wrestling is perfect. It really is card table wrestling.
So, yeah. Root digger.
Root digger.
He's from Kentucky.
Mm. Aren't they all?
Apparently, there's... All right. Sorry, I was just thinking when I mentioned Kentucky, because this article I was reading earlier today was talking about a Kentucky resident that has built this elaborate water filtration system.
Kentucky.
Because I guess the Ohio River's pretty bad.
Well, it caught on fire.
That was the Cuyahoga, I think.
Oh, was it?
You're talking about up in Cleveland?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was the Ohio River. I thought it was the Cuyahoga,
It could have been.
though. But anyway, so there's something called formerly there was something, a chemical called like a PAFL or PF PALF. Either way, it was some sort of toxic thing. And like Procter and Gamble, I guess this is some sort of like byproduct of the stuff they make. And it was getting put into the water, and it's a cancer agent and causes other problems, liver problems and stuff like that, and concentration. So they stopped using that, and they came up with a new chemical. So maybe this isn't a byproduct. It must be something they use in the production of something else. So they came up with this new chemical that they're calling Gen X for some reason.
Ooh.
Why would you name it after a generation of people
I don't, they did.
in America? I mean, but so they got this new one called Gen X, which was supposedly safe, but now they're finding that it's not really. And so they're finding, levels of that. And it's the problem with the new thing, the Gen X, is that the water treatment plants for the municipality, the methods they were using to filter out the PAFLs don't really work as well in this Gen X thing. Like maybe it's like even more of a microparticle or something. So they're having to figure out how to actually filter this stuff out of our drinking water in the city now. And
Sounds great.
yeah, it's just another example of relaxed EPA restrictions under our current moron in chief, I guess.
Relax.
Because it doesn't matter if an entire city gets poisoned as long as the companies make their money.
Relax.
I managed to make it all the way through the show without talking about that shit, and now I did it. Dang it.
You fucked up.
I did. I apologize.
George.
I was trying to maintain a current politics-free zone.
I am never going to do that bullshit. Politics free.
Well, I was just trying not to be a bummer. That's what I'm saying.
Bummer, I get.
I don't want to turn into the person that you talk to, and every time you talk to them, they're talking about how horrible everything is right now.
Oh, I know somebody like that.
I mean, that doesn't mean that things aren't horrible right now. It just means I don't want to be the depressing person that talks about that all
You
the time.
know,
But I don't mind if you do.
I'm not going to.
So, what do I know?
I try not to. People always say that I complain a lot, and I don't. I'm grumpy about things, but I don't really complain about stuff. That's two different things.
I guess, yeah. I used to get real uptight about, like, all right, like say you were hanging out with your bandmates and going to another city to play a show, right? And other people came along with you, kind of stuff. And like you wound up in a hotel that was not quite nice or something or whatever. The trip was a thing, like just not a fun trip or whatever. And then you have to spend the weekend with people that sit there just complaining about it the entire time. I used to really not like that. That would make me real agitated, because I'm like, suck it up, dude. We're here for a job. Like, yeah, this is gonna suck, but we're gonna get done with it and then go someplace else again or whatever. It's like complaining about it the entire trip isn't gonna help anything.
Complaining.
And then plus, when it's over, you usually got something to talk about, and you wind up laughing about it anyway, or grimacing in sympathy.
Rumors.
Exactly. Super Grover.
Super Grover.
I saw a picture of a thing. I guess it was from an ad for some UK thing back in the 70s or something. But it reminded me of like when your parents would bring you home the knockoff toys. Like, I remember getting a Robotech or well, Macross Veritech ship, but it was like some weird knockoff thing. It wasn't really one.
Yeah, they
But
use that for a lot.
like I didn't care because it still transformed. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But this was an ad, and it was instead of Batman, it was Beltman, and his thing was belts, I guess. But it just reminded me of like that stuff. You get those weird knockoff toys, and sometimes like I don't know. I mean, especially if it was like a grandparent or something. You know, they meant well, but sometimes the toy itself really was not all that satisfying. And especially when it was supposed to be like something else. I don't know where I'm going with that, but
yeah, I don't know where you're going with that either.
Yeah, me neither. All right, I'll stop talking about it. So,
yours.
I don't know. Do we have an email?
Or yours.
Oh, okay. Why don't you roll that beautiful email?
Beautiful email. Ben writes, damn you, thank you, same difference. Thanks to the last Crankcast, I blocked the tremolo on my Washburn, and I am finally giving it the attention it deserves.
Oh, nice.
I love this guitar, but could never keep it in tune. Now I'm getting less sleep, but I like it. But it's not like I was sleeping before. On the subject of guitars, I still have my first, but the pickup is going out. Do you have any suggestions? Otherwise, I was leaning towards a Seymour Duncan. I'm kind of a metalhead, but I also really like 90s era ska. Was there ska after the 90s? anyway, on the topic of amp, okay, let's address the pickup thing. You can't go wrong with Seymour Duncan. They've got a bunch of different kinds.
Yeah, they're really solid. EMGs are good too, though. I mean, if you're looking for like that metal thing, I would probably tend towards an EMG, maybe.
I wouldn't say that. I don't like active pickups.
Well, yeah, I mean, not all EMGs are active though.
I actually, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I bought that Jackson Dinky, the $200 one.
Yeah.
And I bought these Seymour Duncan Invaders.
Oh yeah, they got the big poles, right?
Yeah, they are made for metal. I don't know why I bought them. I was like, what am I gonna play? I was just thinking, I've never modded stuff. They're just still sitting in the box because I'm afraid to fuck with it. Also, I'm not sure I like the Jackson anymore, so I might be selling both of these.
Well, there you go.
So if anybody's interested in a brand new set of Seymour Duncan Invader humbuckers, let me know. Seymour Duncan makes a bunch of them. What are the ones? I'd go even like their classic sets will do high gain stuff. So, and I mean, that's enough for metal. It certainly was in the 80s and 90s.
I've had a lot of luck with the... like, especially if you're on a budget, I've had a lot of luck with the cheap Chinese pickups. Like, there was a resale company called Dragonfire. That essentially, they were just buying Chinese pickups and rebranding them.
I've heard of that.
And, but, I mean, you could get, for like under $20, you know, you could get a really hot humbucker. And it didn't sound bad. I mean, especially if you wanted something high gain and a lot of distortion anyway. And... they, you know, I mean, in a bridge position, would work well enough for Sky, I would think, too.
Yeah, also, yeah, if you're asking for our advice, I would probably listen to Crank and not me.
Well, I mean, you know, I tend to specialize in budget gear anyway. Yeah. I did buy, like, a set of EMG, I think they were EMGs. They were the Geezer Butler bass pickups.
Mm-hmm.
I bought those to put in that Fender Aerodyne that I bought last year.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted that big, big sound.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm mostly like, I buy old used pickups or cheap pickups most of the time because for the difference in price. I mean, when you're talking like $200 for a set, I think a set probably.
I mean, the Invaders were like 170, 160.
Okay, so let's...
I think they average about $120 to $150 for a set.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, when you're talking about that versus like I said, buying.
No, I'm completely wrong. I'm sorry about that. The what are they for a set of these? No. You can get them. You can get a set. The Invader set was only 160. So
I have been keeping my eyeballs out for a cheap set of a couple of years ago. Seymour Duncan, I think. It was put out a set that were modeled after like Jimmy Page's old pickups. They were called the Whole Lot of Humbucker.
Yeah, Whole Lot of Humbucker.
And I think those run Well, I wanted the chrome covers, and those were a little more expensive. And I think they were running, like, retail a little over 200. That's it. So I've just been keeping an eye out to see if I get them, like, somebody selling the used ones for, like, 125 or something.
They really make... Seymour Duncan makes a lot of different kind of pickups, and they're probably all great. Just go with the, get Saturday Night Specials. Those are classic.
Yeah, and I don't know. I after a certain point, I have trouble telling the difference between like what makes a certain pickup better than another pickup, aside from just the general broad generalities of this has more body or this has more gain to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting, this is all interesting to me now because when I was younger, and this is so, this is going to be weird for you to hear. I have never been a sound quality guy. Like, I've never been one of those guys that picks out things. It's like, oh, but that's what all gearheads and guitar players, they're all into that. And I was never into that. And it feels like a thing I was lacking. And now I notice it. But when I was younger, I did not care. Right. I didn't know the difference between any of this stuff was. I'm sorry, but I have noticed it now that I've bought these different guitars and I can finally tell how thin my fucking telly is now compared to my Les Paul, you know?
Right. Well, and that's why, I mean, part of it's just I like having them, but I mean, that is why I've got a bunch of different guitars because they all have different qualities to them.
Well, I would think that's the only reason to have different guitars.
Well, they're pretty too. I mean,
they are pretty.
Some people do buy music instruments like guitars, expensive. Like they buy art, you know? Hang them up and just look at them because they're pretty.
Yes, that's true. I guess that's true.
But in my case, it's part of the reason why I've had trouble like getting rid of any of them because I pick one up and I'm like, I can reasonably get rid of this because I've got something else in my arsenal that can fill a slot. And then I start playing it and I'm like, oh, right, this is why I wanted this.
Yeah.
Same thing with like the different effects pedals. I mean, how many distortion pedals does one person really fucking need? But
I always wonder. That's another thing I'm learning because I'm like, especially now, I'm like, I'd rather just get an amp that does it all. Why do I want all these pedals?
Well, I mean, it can add up if you're trying to really encompass different sounds.
Yeah.
It's like when you look at a company's catalog, like Earthquaker, God bless them, I love them. They make really great pedals, but man, they've got an awful lot of overdrive pedals.
Yeah, there's so many overdrive. They can only do so many different things, right?
How much of a difference is there between this overdrive and that overdrive? I mean, this one only has one knob, which is cool because you don't have to fiddle with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one, you can get the same sound, I think. I'm not sure. What's the difference here?
Yeah.
But there are. I mean, there are. Especially if you're, like, got a better ear than I do. I hear broad stuff better than I hear real nuanced differences and things.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell the difference between a single coil and a humbucker.
Sure, right. Yeah, there's a tonal difference there.
But there was a time that I had my Telecaster, and I was like, this Telecaster can do anything. I'll just put a lot of gain on it, you know? But there are differences in different kinds of pickups and different configurations.
Right, because, I mean, even if you stuck, like, say you had a Tele with your single coil back in the bridge, even if you stuck in a stacked or a dual rail, like in a single slot type pickup,
yeah,
and put a split in there so that you could have it be single coil. And I'm saying that in quotes because it's technically single coil, but it's not quite the same as having an actual single coil.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think they are making pickups that can be split now that actually do sound more like a proper single coil. But like, you know, with something like that, but it's close enough, right? So you actually encompass both having a humbucker in the bridge and having a single coil in the bridge if you want one.
My Les Paul can split the pickups, and I was like, why?
Yeah, do you buy a Les Paul to have a single coil? Yeah.
Why do you have a Les Paul?
Right. That does seem like a strange reason. I guess it's cool because if you do, you know, if you did buy the Les Paul because you wanted the Les Paul sound, but then you find you're playing something, you want a single coil sound for something for some reason.
My strat is a HSS, which kind of defeats the purpose of what most people have a strat for. So I think if I were to get another,
well that's what you got your telly for, though, right?
I have my telly, right. And I like telly style guitars. I think if I was just about to say if I was to get another guitar, and then I thought of three other guitars I would like to have.
Oh God, yeah, I saw a Telecaster bass I was looking at the other day, and I'm like, and not the Fender Telecaster that looks like a Strat, but an actual Telecaster style.
Yeah, I want a telly that's built for more than. This telly that I have is a pretty all-around kind of good guitar, but I would like one that has the double humbuckers in it.
Oh, okay.
Now, that either means just get a custom Fender one, or, you know, that Charvel one that I was looking at. Or, because that's almost like the in-between love child of Les Paul and Telecaster, you know?
I do like Charvel. There's something about, even though they're Strats, I mean, they're Strat style, like their San Dimas and their SoCal and stuff.
Yeah.
There's something about those, the way they make theirs, like they're a little more rounded on the horns and stuff.
I do like them too, yeah.
They just look really good. Plus, they got those models with like the black hardware against like the bright color.
And I've never had one, so I'd really like them.
Yeah, they look really sharp. And I haven't played a Charvel since, like, you know, I knew people that had them in the 90s.
And I would have a Strat with just the plain old Strat, the kind with just three single coils.
Yeah, it's a good sound. It's a classic sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure. Are we still answering his question?
well, we answered the first part. Anyway, on the top amps, I have a PV Bandit. However, I have six kids, and that thing doesn't really do quiet. Do you have any recommendations on downsizing?
Oh, is that an old Bandit? Like a Bandit 60? I love those.
They make new ones.
Well, they were making newer Bandits for a while. I think they might still actually be making a model called a Bandit, but it's not the same as the old Bandits.
Yeah.
The old Bandits had a really nice, super saturated sound to them. I really liked them. And they
The thing I use right now is just a 12-inch Orange Crush. It's just a tiny little practice amp.
Yeah,
and I don't turn it up past one because I'm afraid of the rest of the house hearing it.
Yeah, if you're looking for quiet, you're definitely looking in the like a. They make stuff like Roland makes a Microcube.
Yeah.
Which has got a good strong sound to it.
Tiny practice amps, a way to go. I have a Spark coming, but that's a.
Is that still in limbo?
It won't. They right after I talked to you, I got an email that said it probably won't come until like middle to end of June.
Wow!
So I bought a Boss Katana.
Is that another all-in-one amp type thing?
And I shouldn't have. Yes.
Oh, okay. So you've got the Spark coming in. You got a Boss Katana.
Yeah.
Oh, now you can have people come over and jam.
I shouldn't have done it.
I don't,
especially with all that's going on and I'm spending money like a crazy person. Also, I had to buy a new iPad.
Oh, draw one.
Because I sat on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's just weird, dude.
I didn't do it on purpose. It's all because of Ninja. Like, so I had to sit down because you had to hand feed him now. Right. And so I was in the iPad was underneath the little like pee pad that he always sits on. So I sat down and I heard the crunch and I was like, motherfucker. And I hate him now.
Aw, don't hate.
Anyway, I'm spending too much money for somebody that is in my line of business right now at this moment in time.
So which katana did you get there?
So I'll be taking commissions soon. I just got the 50, the MK250.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks like a tight, efficient little product.
I think that will be the only amp I will have. Obviously, I'll have the Spark that I ordered like 4 months ago.
Right.
But the Katana will be my only amp.
I've never, I've used Boss pedals. I've never used a Boss anything else, I don't think.
I've never read or seen a bad review of this amp. It's like the perfect amp, according to everybody.
Oh, cool.
I was told by, Don Cardenas told me to get one, actually. I'm supposed to be on his show tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Have you been on it? You've been on it.
Yeah. Remember, it was like we did it in January, and he didn't post it until like the next January or something like that.
He doesn't. It's not video, right?
Yeah, it was video.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't see it was video. I thought it was like on Spotify or something.
Oh, maybe he does audio versions. Ours, he was doing it up on YouTube. He had like one with Patrick, and he did the one with me, and he had a few more up on YouTube that were video ones through us. He was doing it. I asked him about how he was doing it, and he was using Skype, but he was actually using something else to record the video with and to sync the audio to the video. I can't remember. And I had a little tablet-y thing that I just, since I didn't have to record it, it was good enough to just use as a webcam.
Oh, he sent me, he wanted me to get the Boss Katana Mini, which is the tiny little practice amp, which I probably should have done that instead of, that would have been a lot cheaper. Why did I do that?
So what does this...
I'm making tons of poor choices right now, Crank.
Well, this goes back to the cumulative effect of stress.
Yeah.
So this has got a bunch of built-in effects and whatnot. Sorry, I'm still reading on the Boss Katana 50 Mark II. Oh, man. You can. It's got a straight power. Well, that's good. They still have a straight power amp in case you want to bypass its built-in preamp.
Yeah, I don't know any of those ins and outs. Like, I wouldn't know what to do with that if I did.
Oh, that's nice too. It's if you run the USB out to record it and something, it's got a mic cabinet emulation to it. That's handy.
I guess.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid trying to, you know, work with tape machines and just tried like lining in. It was always so disappointing to line in straight from a distortion pedal into a tape machine, because you just wind up with a spitty, fuzzy, hissy tone. And I still remember the local club, this place called Bogart's. Like, we'd play there, one of my high school bands, and they would sometimes go ahead and tape it for you if you asked them to, so you could, you know, get a tape of your thing. But they, the way they ran stuff straight into the board, they were using DI boxes and stuff, but it was coming off of like the effects pedals. So the guitars always sounded terrible. And, these were usually like Battle of the Bands type shows. So they, you know, the sound engineers didn't give a shit. They were just trying to get everybody on and off stage as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why they didn't spend a lot of time like mic'ing stuff or whatever, or setting up mic placements or whatever. They would just line a lot of stuff in, and so you'd get this hissy, fizzy tone. And even if the show was actually a good show, which, I mean, it was my high school band, so most of the time they probably weren't that great shows, but it would sound terrible. And that was always disappointing. So that's why I like this new era of being able to emulate mic cabinets through an output now.
People got it too good.
Yeah. They don't have to walk uphill both ways.
Nope. And on to the topic of comics, I hear you talking about Friend and Brushes. Sorry if I spelled that wrong. You didn't. Do you think they are a lot better than standard Clip Studio brushes? I don't know about better. They're just useful. They're modified and I used the stock Clip Studio brushes for years, and then I've been using the Frendon one for years too. I use a lot of different stuff. I really like the Frendon brushes though. He's got a lot of specified different things for different. The Clip Studio one only come with a certain amount. So.
Yeah, he's put a lot of work into recreating like natural media effects and stuff.
Yeah, that, I mean, just different styles. He has like a super thick kind of cartoonist kind of brush and, you know, a crow quill kind of brush. But, you know, I spent years just using the Manga Studio crow quill, or not quill, but just heavy nib, you know. And it's funny because Friend had made like reproductions of like the old manga studio Nen brushes.
Oh, like the ones I got rid of when they upgraded their...
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like I used those for a while too. So yeah, it's just whatever you like. If so, what do you recommend there? Just get the base. He's got like a total brush set, but if he sells them by pack still, I'd just get the inkers. Also, have you heard of Metabang Paint? Yes, I got it when it first came out. I think it's been lapped by all like Procreate and Clip Studio. It's like Clip Studio but free. Just wondered your thoughts. Yeah, it's like a Clip Studio for dummies.
Basically, I don't think I've ever tried it.
it's nice, but it's. I mean, with Procreate and Clip Studio, I don't know why you would use it other than it is free. I'm used to Clip Studio Paint, but if I end up losing hours at the hospital, I may end up not having that extra so much a month to pay for my subscription.
Clip Studio is on a subscription model?
Yeah.
When they moved to that?
When it came out on iPad.
No kidding. So, like, yeah. Even your...
Like, no, my desktop's not.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm still planning on checking out the affinity programs too.
I don't see any point in me using anything other than Clip Studio. Even on the iPad, I use Clip Studio, even though everybody else is using Procreate.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, again, and that comes down to if it works for you, it's fine.
Yes.
There's no, like, magic tool that's going to make your life so much better just because somebody else is using it or something.
Yes. What else? And finally, does anyone else wish that Sharktopus had better writing and a budget? Because that creature is fucking awesome. He's not as cool as Lavalantula.
Or Zombievers.
Zombievers, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the one I watched? Was it Ghost Shark? It wasn't Ghost Shark. Yeah. It was... There is a Ghost Shark, but it wasn't Ghost... Oh, Frankenshark.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Frankenshark is awesome. Polonia Brothers Forever.
Ah. How about Mansquito?
You mean Paul?
Paul?
That's the name of it. No, that was Manshark or Sharkman. Sharkman. Sharkman's name is Paul. Oh. I kept saying that the movie should be called Paul! Exclamation point.
Paul! Manshark.
Because I don't think they ever call him Sharkman in the movie.
Sharkman!
And also, for a movie called Sharkman, they spend a lot of time just walking through the woods in that. And it's like, you should not be scared of a Sharkman in the woods.
Was he an amphibious Sharkman?
Yeah, he was pretty much in a tank of water most of the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't seem like he'd be able to do too much from there, right?
Yeah, it's like, you're totally safe from the Sharkman.
Yeah.
Unless
it was a sand shark, man.
Sharktopus was funny looking. I never thought he was awesome looking. He's a shark with eight legs. Next time I'll have some lettering questions. Anywhere, take care. Anyway, take care, guys. That's from Ben.
Well, thanks for writing.
And that's the only email.
Okay. That's good, because we got a lot of mileage out of that one.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Yes, thanks for writing.
Well, all right.
Look out.
Look out.
Anyway. So I guess that brings us to another week's end.
Weekend.
We kind of fallen off putting it out on Wednesdays recently, but that's been mostly me, I think. Hey, it's getting really hard to... I mean, I joked about it being, you know, hard to tell what day of the week it was before.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, because never really, you know, when you're working from home and you're self-employed, you don't really get weekends or weekends don't mean as much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except that you know, your normal friends are the ones that have the weekends off, so that's when you get to see them mostly.
Those are the ones, they're always saying, hey, why don't you come out? And I'm like, you don't fucking care or understand that I don't have, I can't do that, so you're kind of being a dick to me right now, so thanks a lot, asshole.
Okay, yeah. No? Yeah. What? Sure. But lately, it's literally, I'm losing track of the days of the week a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't even, because nobody's at work and or whatever, you know, so I'm just sort of like, I don't, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't know what day it is, and it turns out being like Thursday.
Yeah, it's happened to me, you know, a lot. Also, like, every day is a roller coaster. Like, every day I'll have the thought, well, you know, maybe you should just take some time off. I say that every day.
It sounds like every day is a winding road, Mike.
Yeah. I don't know that song very well.
It's okay. It was an annoying song, as I recall. I haven't heard it in a long time, though.
That was the 90s?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I associate it... I didn't like the song, but I... Say what?
Nothing.
Oh. I didn't like the song, but I associate it with a girl I knew at the time.
Really?
Who was really... I thought she was really pretty, and she wore... what was the perfume called? It was Poison. A perfume called Poison?
Mm.
And, which, thinking back on it, I'm wondering how the hell she could afford it, because that's not exactly a cheap perfume.
Mm.
But it had a, it's got a distinctive smell. And
she stole it.
Could have been. You know, she was a little hood girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyway, that's my association with that song. I think. Anyway, whatever. So, that's the end of this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. You can go read some Battlepug stuff at battlepug.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's other websites and stuff too.
Who cares?
Apparently comics are supposed to start shipping. I read up a little more because I didn't know until last week that DC was shipping again.
Mm-hmm.
So I read up a little more on that, and I can see, you know, I can see the retailers' points on that, and especially considering that it seems like the distributors that DC decided on are actually competitors to most of the retailers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the DCBS.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the other one's another, like, online retailer or something like that. So, yeah, between that and that seems like, again, I mean, I was partially right when I was talking about it cutting into their margins. Which apparently, that's another reason for it. So I don't know, but Diamond's saying that they're going to start shipping stuff again later this month, I think, or next month, May.
Super.
But again, I'm not sure how much good that's going to do for comic shops who are still in states on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I know, comic shops aren't considered essential businesses, and a lot of them just aren't equipped to be mail order businesses themselves.
Oh, girl.
So, I don't know, but I mean, at least, I guess, you know, things are moving back to people being able to get their comics again and whatnot.
Give me my comics.
Give me my comics. I want a haircut.
Yeah. A haircut.
So, anyway, yeah, so things should start coming out again eventually, and we can start talking about things like that, like, hey, this is going to be in stores or whatever. But not yet.
Not yet. Although, no, not yet.
Although I guess you could still go. What was that online web comic place? The MediaToon or
Webtoons?
Webtoons. Yeah, you can still go there. I'm sure people there are still publishing new material.
They are.
And similar places like that, I guess. I know.
Like friend of the show and bragger John Amor.
Yeah. Also, Sherrard Jackson has...
Sherrard Jackson and his violent comic about baby dinosaurs.
Would you really expect baby dinosaurs to not be violent?
That is very true.
Yeah. So, we hope you have a good weekend, and stay safe, stay healthy.
bar.